Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Fidel. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, County, Monterey, Faraday, Santa Fe, Tallapoosa, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock, Oskaloosa, Tennessee, Chickapee.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumbo Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumbo Justice Radio Show. I am Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumbo Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Well, thank you very much, Audrey, and thank you for getting us on the show one more time. What are we up to, number 181? You know, sometimes it's difficult to turn Johnny Cash off. I mean, he can't turn himself off, but tonight he ran past a few more cities than we usually have him run past. We usually stop at Dayton, but I think he went all the way to Texarkana. Sometimes some nights if we have time, we'll let him run the whole course of the country. But that's a great song. And again, he goes to 90 cities and states. And when he performed that song, he sang it from memory, which is an incredible memory feat. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Network and the Jumbo Justice Radio Show. And we've got some Jumbo Justice tonight to talk about. And we've captured a couple spirits from the C-SPAN Video Network. And these spirits just appeared here recently, these two gentlemen who are fine authorities on the issue of immigration reform, and illegal immigration. And they just appeared this past week on Morning Journal on C-SPAN video. And as you know, if you haven't done it, and some of you are instructors that listen here across various parts of the land, C-SPAN has released 80,000 hours of videos going back 15 years. Or 20 years, and some of them are just virtually priceless in terms of historical commentary on special issues in criminal justice. So take a look at that. Go to C-SPAN video, do a search, and you'll be really surprised what you could find. You could, like so many things on the web now, you could lose yourself there and stay there forever. But it's really good stuff in terms of criminal justice commentary. I'm your host, Keith Haley, and we want to thank Emily Springfield and Mike Sorrento for joining us tonight, as always. And they do a lot of the technical aspects and news research on our show, and we thank them for all of that hard work. And Mike, I think you made the Seattle's best coffee tonight, didn't you? Yes, you did. Thank you very much. The purpose of this show is what it always is. We try to discuss news issues, events, and developments in the always difficult, sometimes humorous, and changing field of criminal justice. And tonight's issue of illegal immigration and immigration reform is almost kind of a characterization of those two, the dichotomy of how people see it. We'll discuss that tonight, and I think you'll enjoy it. And I think I'm going to comment on some parts of the new segment here where we play the videos from C-SPAN, we can stop it and I can talk. There's a few things that need a little explanation that aren't entirely clear, or they haven't taken time on the show to do it. But what we do, this show is dedicated to our tireless police, courts, corrections, and juvenile justice professionals. And boy, do they get tired sometime, that's for sure, who protect us throughout the United States and around the world. We shouldn't forget also, in these tough economic times, depending where you are in the United States, a lot of these agencies are laying off police officers. And you don't have to go too far to find that. And that means that other police officers are taking more radio calls in that patrol section and traffic section than they ever did. So they're stretched pretty thin in some of these areas. I just saw where one of the cities, what was it, Philadelphia, is going to take traffic calls. I think it was Philadelphia. Isn't going to take traffic calls anymore. Traffic accident calls, it has to be one where somebody was actually injured. And that's too bad, because you need somebody to figure out who was wrong and those kind of things, so the insurance comes out right, if for no other reason, and you enforce the law against unsafe drivers. So anyway, that's what we're going to do tonight, and we hope you enjoy it. And you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, and I talked to some people this past week and never heard of it, and some a little surprised, and seemed like some were interested. And what they can do is have their own show. Alan Levy is all for it. He's the chief executive officer of BTR, and he came out of the telecommunications business, started this show a little over 3 years ago with seven people talking on the phone over the internet about a death in his family. And this turned into the Blog Talk Radio Network, which is now one of the top 100 websites in the world. And you can get a show. You can broadcast X number of hours a week. We only do one, but you can do more than that. In fact, there's a gentleman I'll be in contact with who has a private security show. I think I'm going to appear on his show if he'll allow me. He asked, and I haven't responded yet. It's been a busy week for me. But you can broadcast every day if you like. In fact, I think his show does at least five days a week. But any person, any interest group, any organization can broadcast live and streaming audio over the internet worldwide to an unlimited number of listeners, and the price is free. What a price. What a bargain. Can't get any better than that. So get your own show if you don't enjoy this one. And tonight, as I mentioned, we're going to be listening to Daniel Stein, who's president of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, known as FAIR, and also Frank Shari, America's Voice founder, and he's the executive director of that organization. Both have thought a lot about this subject, and both have been talking with each other about this for literally years. So I think you will find them very entertaining, as well as informative relative to this subject of immigration and immigration control. You're listening on the computer probably, or on your cell phone if you like, but if you want to call in during the news segment of the show, I'm not going to take too much time on that tonight, because this video is about 43 minutes. We probably won't be able to hear it all. But anyway, it's the call-in number is 347-996-5983. 347-996-5983. 8-3. And ladies and gentlemen, if you should happen to be joining for the first time, I can't imagine that, Audrey always tells a blonde joke, and tonight she's got a good one. I've leaked this joke to some people, and they liked it, Audrey. So have we ever had one that people didn't like? Ah, that guy did call in from Texas once. Remember him? He put us on hold. I think we even recorded his voice. He was a little taken back by a blonde joke, but he won't be calling tonight, so no fear. So, Audrey, what do you got in terms of the project? Oh, I know. Yes, this is the blonde Walkman joke. Go ahead.
Professor Haley, tonight's blonde joke is about a blonde lady at the hairdresser. She encounters a problem. Here it is. A blonde went to a hairdresser's one day, listening to a Walkman. The hairdresser asked her what she wanted, and the blonde replied, "I need to get my hair trimmed. Just make sure that you do not take these headphones off." The woman looked at the blonde, surprised, but did as she was told. While she was brushing the blonde's hair, she accidentally bumped the headphones, knocking them to the ground. As she bent down to pick them up, the blonde fell over onto the floor. The hairdresser was very confused. She picked up the headphones and listened. This is what she heard. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out.
Thank you. right. I like that one, Audrey. And you know what we should be doing that we didn't do last week? I absolutely can't believe this. We did not give our green tip. And you talk about planet sustainability. The tips that we give out, if, you know, the hundreds of thousands that listen to our show would follow them, we will indeed set back global warming and save the planet. So here's one tonight, and we were going to do this last week. And I think I could even make some improvements on that. But what do you think, folks, in terms of a green tip? Some of you, I know, probably wash your hair every day. Am I correct? If I did a poll right here in the broadcast studio, everyone's nodding. They all wash their hair every day. From now on, folks, that's not going to be acceptable on the Blog Talk Radio Network, at least in the Jumbo Justice Radio Show broadcast room. You shouldn't wash it every day because most of these shampoos contain detergents that stick around as chemical compounds, and they get in the waterways. It's most environmentally friendly not to wash your hair every day. It's better for your hair as well. I didn't really realize that. They're saying, according to Esma Floyd in her book, 1001 Ways to Save the Planet, you should do it three times a week. That should be plenty enough. Now, that raises the scientific and personal question, why wash it at all, right? We know that people have survived in previous times or even today. I think I've met them on the street as a police officer who never washed their hair. So that could be even better. And then, of course, some of the guys that are sort of in vogue now with the shaved heads, isn't that a good idea? What if we all shaved our heads? The shampoo business would go out, and the waterways would be that much cleaner. So I'm recommending more shaved heads, more bald heads, and we would have cleaner waterways, and this would go a long way toward planet sustainability. Well, on something not... Well, it is a serious. We want to play the Ohio Gun Coalition's audio to the gangbangers and the street criminals. And here it is. We play. It's a public service announcement, and the message is directed toward the criminals, I'm sure.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
Thank you very much, Ohio Coalition, and it certainly is a deadly idea. Let's see what we can crank up here in terms of some news stories. Some of these, I think, in terms of getting into the textual content of some of this, I'm going to kind of do from memory and let some of you folks comment or at least think about what I'm talking about if we can get the thing open. Here we go. Yeah, my notebook will open. One of the nicest features that Google ever had, and they have lots of them, what, about a million, was the Google Notebook, and they did away with it. But if you have an old Google account, you can still use the Google Notebook, but that's how I always keep my news story. Two of these stories I have tonight are about the militia members who were in court. Remember the 9 people that were arrested in Michigan for making threats against law enforcement, and this was going to cause a massive response of law enforcement agents to Michigan. And then as a result of that, they were going to assault these people. At least that's what was said. Now, my news is opening up. Mike, what's the deal with that? We don't know. Maybe we'll try this a different way. There we go. A federal judge challenged some of the prosecutors Wednesday to show that the 9 members of the Michigan militia accused of plotting war against the government had done more than just talk and should remain locked up. They've had 10 hours of testimony on this over the past 2 days, and the judge didn't make a decision. She didn't say what she was going to do about keeping them in custody or not, but the members of a southern militia group called TARI have been in custody for a month. An indictment accuses them of weapons violations and a rare crime, conspiring to commit sedition or rebellion against the government by first killing police officers. To make this long story short, an FBI agent came up and testified. An undercover agent infiltrated the group, and the agent can't remember anything. Said she didn't have time to go over her notes, And she couldn't remember exactly, you know, what transpired relative to this or that. It's now time, they said, the group said to strike and take our nation back or something like that. But later, putting the transcript aside, the prosecutor said the theme is the brotherhood is the enemy, all law enforcement officers. Defense lawyers, they argue that the urged the judge to look at each defendant individually, although all are charged with conspiracy, they're not all working together in these critical meetings at the same time to do this this conspiracy. But anyway, what they're really disturbed about here in the second article is that the agent couldn't remember anything. This was in the, what am I looking at, the Toledo Blade, and it said that the agent couldn't remember any of the details. She doesn't know anything, U.S. District Judge Victoria Roberts said after Leslie Larson confessed she hadn't reviewed her notes recently. But can you believe that? So these people are still in custody, and you know, they're wondering, you know, what people are wondering, what exactly did they do? Of course, they don't present all the evidence here. Let's be fair to the FBI and the federal agents in that they're just trying to present enough evidence to keep the people in custody because they believe they're dangerous, but I thought that that was interesting. You ever had anybody ask you if you're an organ donor? Lots of people are, and those are noble people. I always wonder if I still need mine, you know, later on. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of any type of medical establishment. But anyway, it's being proposed in New York now that you're automatically going to become, if they pass the law, you're going to become an organ donor. The only way you can get out of it is if you opt out of it. And they said that other nations of the world, actually there'd be another law you could violate. But we have 10,000 New Yorkers on the list today that are waiting for organs. But they're saying that Israel and some other countries have this, that they can, in fact, harvest your organs upon death. I hope upon death and not earlier. And they're thinking perhaps that this could be the solution to our problem here in the United States. Let's shift right away to the whole business of Arizona and what's going on out there. Let me summarize it without going through some very interesting political perspectives that are found in the newspapers over the last 5 or 6 days. But what happened is Arizona passed a law that said now that it's a violation, it's a felony to be in the state of Arizona and to be an illegal. And in order for that law to be enforced, it gives the police right to ask for identification for anybody they have reasonable suspicion, and I've heard a mistake about this about 5 times a day as people commented. Reasonable suspicion is something more than suspicion, but less than probable cause, which is what is required in the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Let me recite it for you. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. And no warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause, particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons and things to be seized. I'm sure you've all memorized the Bill of Rights, but lovers of liberty love the Fourth Amendment the most. So this is less than probable cause, and it's more than suspicion. So it's not merely suspecting someone. So everybody is thinking that, you know, these cops are going to go out and do racial profiling. They're only going to look at people who would appear to be Hispanic in appearance or dress or something like that. It's not that they're going to be stopping everyone and asking for papers. There have been a lot of jokes made about that this week. You know, where's your papers? That's not going to be the case. So there's a lot of angles to this, and of course Arizona says, and Governor Brewer, that they move forward on this because the federal government has once again decided to do nothing. Now let me give you some close-up examples of how nothing or how that translates. I know people who are probation officers who have told me that they have illegals on their probation load, and people know that, and ICE knows it, the federal government, and they do nothing about it. One of them stole the identity of a two-year-old girl, a two-year-old child, and is still using that, or was using that identity. That's what they got arrested for, and they're still here. And you call ICE, and you know they kind of don't respond to you if you want to look at it like that. So it's that thing multiplied about several million times over that has caused Arizona to pass the law. It won't become law actually till after the Arizona legislature stops meeting, and that'll be at the end of July or early August. I'm thinking about going down and taking up a close look the first couple of weeks to do a study down there about what's going on. But anyway, that sort of sets up what we want to do tonight. But I did want to check immigrationcounters.com real quick. And if you haven't, well, let's don't even do it. If you haven't looked lately, it's over 20 million illegal immigrants in the United States, regardless of what folks say. And it'll tell you how many anchor babies there are and all this business. And this will be discussed in this conversation between Dan Stein and Frank Sherry and the host on the Morning Journal on C-SPAN. So here we go. And we want to thank C-SPAN for allowing us to use this particular conversation that appeared on April 26th. 2010, so just a few days ago.
Washington Journal continues.
And we have with folks talking about immigration policy, Daniel Stein, president of the Federation for American Immigration Reform. Thanks so much for being with us.
Glad to be here.
And Frank Sherry, founder and executive director of American.
Thank you.
News this past week about immigration policy coming out of Arizona. Let's take a look at an article from USA Today to refresh your memory about what's happened. Arizona's controversial immigration enforcement law was the target of fresh attacks Sunday as opponents from national civil rights activists to Phoenix Mayor Phil Gordon vowed to take their fight to court as soon as this week. And looking back at the law, which would take effect 90 days after the state legislature adjourned there, it requires local law enforcement officials to determine the immigration status of a person during any legitimate contact made by an official or agency of the state if reasonable suspicion exists that the person is an alien who is unlawfully present in the United States. Let's go to Mr. Stein for a reaction to this policy.
Well, I think it's an excellent law. I want to commend Senator Russell Pierce in Arizona for working to enact a law that's not only much needed but highlights the growing divide in this country. I see the headline in USA Today says that the law creates a rift. Actually, the rift has been created by the fact that we have a failure of leadership in Washington to recognize that the American people want the immigration laws of this country enforced. They want to see a smooth, unified enforcement system between the federal government and the state and local government. The Arizona legislature is operating fully within its constitutional authority to enact laws which are entirely consistent with federal immigration enforcement schemes. And yet what you have is this adverse reaction from the president and the administration saying, hey, you know, the American people who want to see their laws enforced are somehow not entitled to see that done. And so the growing polarity on this issue has been defined by a series of strategic interests that believe that they essentially have the right to demand a mass amnesty, with no real accountability for future enforcement or reform of the overall system. That's the proposal that the president is pushing. Versus the general public, at a time of high unemployment, major job losses, structural changes in the American economy, many Americans hardworking looking for work, saying, hey, you know, why isn't the federal government getting serious about enforcing the law? And so Arizona, this is a rational response, and what we'd like to see, we're calling on the federal government to come in and assist Arizona and Oklahoma and the other states that are demanding help them enforce these laws.
And so you're founder of American Voice.
Can you give us your take on that? Yeah, look, there's a very important debate to be had about how do we eliminate illegal immigration in this country. We don't think a patchwork of radical laws at the state level is the way to do it. We think that Congress should work with the president to pass comprehensive immigration reform that secures the border, cracks down on illegal hiring, and makes sure people are here legally. That's the way to solve this problem. The Arizona law, I'm afraid, is so broadly written that it literally declares open season on 30% of the state that's Hispanic. What it basically says is that if you're suspect, the police have to ask for your papers. Well, who's suspect in Arizona when it comes to who's illegal and who's not? We know that when there's a disturbance on a soccer field, who's going to be asked for papers are more likely to be Hispanic Americans, many of whom are here legally. So I think what Arizona has done is institutionalize racial discrimination and racial profiling in a way that's contrary to basic American values of fairness, rather than pressing Congress and the administration to step up past immigration reform that ends illegal immigration.
About 3,500 protesters that turned out Sunday at the Arizona Capitol, and they were assailing the measure signed on Friday. Among them were the mayor of Phoenix, an and also Congressman Raul Grijalva, Democrat from Arizona. They called it racist and unjust, and are concerned, as you mentioned, Mr. Sherry, about how it will actually take effect. Play out a scenario for us.
Well, let's say there's a park in a soccer field, maybe 500 people there doing various activities, and a fight breaks out, and the police show up, and they congregate the people that are involved. What do the police do? I mean, I have tremendous sympathy for police who are in this situation. One of the reasons that the Arizona police chiefs oppose this bill is that they say it's going to undermine the confidence of Hispanic residents with the police that's so critical to fighting crime. So they start to ask questions, and some people run away because they don't have papers with them. Other people who stay, who gets asked? Do all of them get asked for papers? Does Arizona become the kind of state where every interaction with police becomes show me your papers? Or do just some people get asked? That's what this law does. It creates this awful situation where you can, by the way you look, you can be asked for papers. Brian Bilbray, a supporter of Dan's group, who's a Republican in Congress, says they'll be able to tell by the shoes they wear. I mean, that's how ridiculous this has become. The governor was asked after she signed the law, how can you tell who an illegal immigrant is? And she said, I don't know, but the police will write a description and we'll follow it. This is open season.
And then, finally, why are you not concerned about civil rights violations?
Well, Liberty, they are as concerned about civil rights violations as any organization in the country.
Let me say that. Why do you think this would not be civil rights violations?
Well, first of all, I think engaging in hypotheticals about how a law might be enforced is completely speculative. I think the law was very carefully crafted to try to ensure the civil rights of all individuals in Arizona are respected. At some point, however, The constitutional norms need to prevail again that allow local police, on reasonable suspicion, to verify a person's right to be in the country and to have the services of the federal government to make that determination. And one of the reasons why Americans ask, why is illegal immigration out of control? Well, if you take a look at the Arizona situation, get online, read the law, actually take a look at the language, what you will see is that this sets up a very careful framework to try to bring about some rationality in how we actually enforce these laws. Naturally, you want to monitor these laws carefully for civil rights violations. But at the same time, we feel very comfortable that the compass of the law, as well as in the state authority, and that it will be administered properly and effectively. There is a climate of fear in Arizona right now, but the fear is as a result of drug cartels, gang violence, you know, mob violence, if you will, orchestrated. This is a very serious national security issue. And to continue to talk at the federal level about an amnesty program, encouraging people in the belief that we're not going to enforce these laws in the interior, we cannot expect immigration law to work. If we're going to corral off a federal agency like Immigration Customs Enforcement in DHS, isolated from state and local police departments, other federal agencies, no other area of federal law is so isolated in its enforcement components as immigration law is. The Arizona law deals with a number of other areas as well. What it essentially does is empower police to be part of a team with the federal government. Many police departments, while recognizing they need to maintain trust in community relations, also understand that it is quixotic to try to control crime if you don't control illegal immigration. And now we see, you know, the real risk here, Libby, though, is that ultimately there's a wing in the Democratic Party that seems to believe that the civic fabric can be maintained when one population in the United States is essentially being said, we don't have to obey the law. We don't have to respect U.S. law. We don't have to respect U.S. borders. We don't have to play by the rules. And we're going to essentially get ahead of the game, get an amnesty. And people are saying, this isn't what the American assimilation ethic is about. It's not what immigration is all about. And it's causing a rift in our political and our politics. The polarization and the partisanship of this debate are deeply troubling right now. I don't believe in the history of the country. America's immigration policy debate becomes so polarized and politicized as it is now in this Congress. And I think we're going down the wrong road. We're not dealing from a consensus basis. We've had no commission to come up with an enlarged view of the national interest. It's nothing more than a special interest political power grab, and it's the reason why people are getting frustrated, particularly now in this economy.
And right before we go to our call, so in the scenario that Mr. Sherry described, we're at a soccer match, there's a disturbance, and his organization's concern is that perhaps Hispanics would be targeted by law enforcement officials after their papers. Why are you not about that scenario?
Well, I think it's important not to engage in hypotheticals. Police departments are going to be looking to enforce overall laws in Arizona, criminal laws and what have you. To engage the law, I mean, clearly, if they in the course of a regular and lawful police contact decide they want to ask for identification, which they usually do, and then have a basis for saying we'd like to see if you have authorization to be in this country. You know, FAIR has been arguing for years and years and years we need a single uniform document to verify citizenship or your alien status, preferably key to the driver's license. We've been pushing that for 30 years. Why we don't have it now? Well, special interest lobbying pressures have prevented it from happening. Now we're being told that Chuck Schumer is going to push the guy, Senator Schumer from New York, is going to push a biometric ID card. Well, that's the linchpin on which their amnesty bill is pegged. And yet the same people who are pushing the amnesty bill have been opposing document security for years and years and years. So when Secretary Napolitano turns around and says, well, she opposes the Real ID Act, it would bring about unitary driver's license security, and then he turns around and says, well, I'm concerned about something like the Arizona law creating racial profiling, the way you avoid any incentive for that sort of profiling is to have uniform standards and uniform documents, which we have been fighting for FAIR for years and years and years.
But the problem is, Libby, is that we don't have those documents now, and what we're going to have in Arizona is a target painted on the back of every Hispanic. We're going to have fifth-generation veterans.
Your response
is going to have their papers because they look reasonably suspect. And that's, to me, that it's just galling that in the 21st century we have such a draconian law that, quite frankly, I think it's going to sustain on the reputation.
That's not a practical assessment of how the law would be enforced. In the course
well,
of
you
the
don't
criminal
want to hypotheticals, I'm looking at scenarios that cops on the beat are going to have to deal with every day. They're going to have to walk up to a crowd and figure out, under this law, they're required to ask who they think is suspect.
If they have
and if they don't, they're going to be subject to lawsuits
if they have a reasonable
Let's take a look at what USA Today says regarding law enforcement. Some groups have come out in favor of this, some groups have come out against it, and USA Today says that the new law has been particularly contentious within the national and local law enforcement community. One example is San Jose Police Chief Robert Davis, president of the Major City Chiefs Association, said the group stands by its 2006 policy that immigration enforcement by local police would likely negatively affect and undermine the level of trust and cooperation between local police and immigrant communities. There are, of course, other opinions among the law enforcement communities as well. Let's get our callers in here. Walter, Democrat line at Daytona Beach, Florida. Welcome.
Yes. Can you hear me?
You can, Walter. Good morning.
When I travel extensively through Central America and South America, which I do frequently for business, I'm often asked for my papers because I look different. I don't mind showing my papers to the authorities, letting them know that I'm in their country legally because I'm a guest in their country. So I don't see what the big deal is here. But the police want to ask you for your papers, they should. Number two, and the most important thing I want to bring up, there's a war going on in Mexico. Since 2006, there have been an average of over 5,000 murders a year, killing because of the drug war. 5,000, yet nobody's talking about that. That's more than we killed, soldiers have been killed in the entire time we've been in Iraq. But we got them going on 5,000 a year down there, and it's Janice Napolitano saying, no big deal, let's leave the borders just the way they are, everything is fine. What is wrong with you people? That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Jerry. Let's get a response on our caller's point. About you
think he was referring to me?
I want to make a comment on that.
You're you people.
about how this measure could, proponents say, help with drug issues and border violence.
Look, there is, first of all, there's lots of laws on the books that are against kidnapping, that are against drug smuggling, that are designed to go after cartels. The idea of stopping people and asking for papers in the street as an effective law enforcement technique, when police are saying it undermines their ability to have the public be the force multiplier that they need, I think Steve.
This guy still doesn't get it. They won't be stopping people on the street and asking for their ID. They stop people in the course of normal duties. For example, they run a red light, a stop sign, they jaywalk. They're caught shoplifting. Then if there's reasonable suspicion that they're an illegal immigrant, you know, like I got no document, I can't speak a word of English, and there might be a couple other things in the car that would give me a clue that maybe you're not from this country, then they would inquire about their identity and their immigration status. So he keeps saying they'd be stopping people on the street for suspicion. I'm sorry, the police don't have time to do all that. They're answering radio calls and helping people.
Border violence is incredibly important. That's a cross-border issue, and the U.S. and Mexico are doing more than they've ever done on it. the idea of open borders is a, we've had de facto open borders for way too long in the United States. In the last 10 years, we've quintupled the number of border patrol agents. We've built fencing, we have drones, and it still hasn't worked. Why? Probably the one thing Dan and I agree on is that the real key to stopping future illegal immigration is to turn off the job sites. You don't do that at the border with a wall that you can dig under or scale over. You do it at the point of hire where you have a secure employment verification process that employers can use and that determines who's legal. But you have to couple that with a process by which the workers here get in line, get legal, pay their taxes, learn English, and get to the back of the citizenship line. That combination of an effective employment verification system with a requirement to get legal will eliminate to get legal will eliminate illegal immigration and do a much better job than we're doing currently of stopping future illegal immigration with 700 miles of fence.
What about the idea that enforcement is better done at the job site?
Well, of course, absolutely, and Frank knows that. We worked to push employer sanctions in 1986. Frank and I go back on this so long. I mean, he and I were able to eat hamburgers for lunch every day, you know, 25 years ago. We know that we've been talking about employer sanctions. But coupling it with a mass amnesty is not acceptable. We did get one in 1986. We're not walking down that aisle again. We're not going to that altar. We're not going to be given illusory enforcement promises. This administration, I think Walt is right on. I mean, this administration has made promises about border security. They haven't met their strategic border initiative, falling flat on its face. Napolitano hasn't finished the border fence that Congress demanded that there be built. These things haven't come online. McCain said, if Obama doesn't like the Arizona law, he should send troops down to the border. What Arizona is saying to the federal government is, put up or shut up. Get out there and enforce the law. To say, well, we've got to swallow another mass amnesty with the millions of more relatives coming in, and we can't afford it right now, as a condition of maybe downstream, 15, 20, 30 years from now, having a machine-readable work verification document and a robust interior enforcement. Essentially, what we've been listening to from Frank's side of the aisle for all these years is, it's fine if we enforce immigration law as long as nobody gets support, as long as nobody has to go home. And now we're looking at this scenario now where Frank has gone out and said to the Obama administration, stop enforcing all immigration law except at the border unless you're a terrorist or a recidivist murderer, and everybody else should be allowed to stay. You undermine completely your moral authority to make the argument that there's a good faith basis for believing that any consensus compromise your side of the aisle would be pushing whatever fulfill its enforcement commitment. And the reason why we're not going to see a bill in this Congress is the Obama administration and the Democratic leadership in Congress do not have a competent, convincing, credible immigration enforcement strategy in place or on the table that would be part of that text.
Let's go to Lubbock, Texas. I want to make sure we are calling citizens both of you. Joe, independent caller, go right ahead.
Hello. Lubbock, Texas is experiencing a building boom from cheap labor, namely illegal immigrants. The illegal immigrants are hardworking people seeking a better life. Rather than criminalizing the immigrants, why not target the employers who are drawing them? U.S. employers are exploiting poverty-stricken people for the purpose of cheap labor and profits. Employers who hire illegals are unpatriotic and should be jailed. I'll answer off on.
Yeah, amen. That is what drives illegal immigration, is the thirst for cheap labor and the fact that bad actor employers are looking to hire people off the books where they don't have to pay taxes, they don't have to pay benefits, and it undercuts the honest employers who are hiring people at decent wages and paying full benefits. That is at the heart of illegal immigration. So what do we do about it? Our plan is that in addition to the measures being taken at the border is to have aggressive enforcement at the work site, at the point of hire, so that people here illegally can't get hired and people here legally are the only ones who get hired, and employers who end run the system get cracked down on very hard, as you suggest. Two, we've got to have aggressive enforcement of labor laws so that the same people who are violating immigration laws, who often are violating both labor and tax laws, that we go after them as well. Look, we can equal the playing field in the lower end of the labor market if we have honest employers and legal workers. But you can't do that only with employer enforcement. You also have to make sure that the 11 million people here illegally get legal. Now, what Dan's group favors is let's make life so miserable that people eventually get driven out of the country. We just don't think that's realistic, and we don't think politicians who promote that kind of mass deportation are being honest with the American people. What we want is those people to be required to come forward They have to pass background checks, they've got to study English, pay taxes, and get to the back of the citizenship line. And if they don't, they should be deported. That should be the system by which we get people here legal, we make sure hiring is legal, and in the future, people aren't going to come if they know the jobs magnet isn't going to allow them to work off the book.
Well, it's pretty good to comment on that. Working on the employer side, is certainly, this is Haley speaking, would certainly be of assistance in controlling the illegal immigration problem. But these people aren't airdropped here. They did come across. They did come across the border, and it seems like if you did a little bit of both, it might work on both ends of the problem. But if everybody gets call it amnesty, call it a path to citizenship. If you have millions and millions that came here illegally, then they can get in the line and they get a card that allows them to stay here legally. What do you think that's going to say to the people who aren't here yet who want to come illegally? I think they're going to come, well, they'll come and they'll do. They'll say they'll do exactly the same thing for me. I'll get here, maybe I'll get caught, and then I'll be put on a path to citizenship. So I think it's a little naive and maybe even absurd to think that this alone, the idea of putting people on the right path to citizenship and legalizing the ones that are here, is going to change the attitude below the border or north of the border, for that matter.
I would just add, Senator Pearson, Arizona, I think your point is well taken, sir. Senator Pearson, Arizona, and in other states as well, are working to beef up sanctions against employers, against day labor employers who stop at day labor sites. They're working very aggressively to start cracking down on employers because the federal government, the Obama administration, is doing more paperwork audits of employers, but they're not actually increasing the level of certain kinds of fines, and they're not apprehending the workers themselves. Now, Frank objects to what the Obama administration is doing, which is theoretically getting illegal aliens fired from work sites, but then they don't have, you know, they have to go out and find another job somewhere. They're not taken into custody, which we object to. So, I mean, the whole policy isn't making any sense because, at root, we're not going to get this problem solved if either political party uses immigration policy for political gain. Now, if the Democrats want to use it because they think recently naturalized Hispanics are going to vote heavily Democrat, or Republicans want to use it because they think cheap labor users contribute heavily in corporate campaign contributions, either way, the public interest is not being served. And this thing is coming to a head. It's coming to a crisis in this country. Unless we start dealing with this as a mature, responsible nation in the next couple of years, this issue is going to simply explode.
Let's look at some of the details of this new Arizona law. This is from the Washington Post. The measure will take effect in July or August, depending on when the legislative session ends. Immigrants unable to provide documentation of legal presence could be arrested, jailed for as long as 6 months, and fined $2,500. Legal immigrants will be required to carry paperwork proving their status.
This is Haley again, ladies and gentlemen. Let's compare that to Mexico's law, where the first time you're caught as an illegal there, I'm told, and I heard it from credible sources this week, your first time in jail is 2 years. If you're caught on a second offense, you're in prison for 10 years. A little different than what we do here.
Let's check in with Joe, Republican caller from Columbia, South Carolina. Hi, Joe.
Hey, good morning. How are you? You know, I don't understand this issue. I know that the Republicans support big business and want cheap labor and help fuel this, and the Democrats want more Hispanic votes and to overcome the moderate center-right voting bloc here in this country so that they can get office. And you got a state down there that's being stuck in the turmoil of all this, who's being overrun by, not by the good Latino people, but, of course, the bad percentage in any population that is victimizing that state terribly so. And this fella on the right, I think his name is Sherry, you know, he doesn't do anything. If you mention any valid proposal, he would just butt it down and knock it down, and any kind of way of defending our border, he would not be for it. But look at Canada. They defend their border so vigilantly that the Mexican government came in and called them terrible and racist or whatever.
Okay, well, I guess it's my turn to respond. So let me be clear. We very strongly support professional, accountable border patrol in this country. We think it's essential as an exercise of national sovereignty and to protect the American people. We support aggressive worksite enforcement going after bad actor employers. labor to take to get an unfair advantage in the labor market and to exploit immigrant workers. We also support the idea of making sure that people here illegally, the 11 million or so, and this is a real dividing point in the debate. Dan calls it amnesty, and it's unacceptable. What he wants and his organization supports is something that would drive 11 million people out of the country. We don't think that's realistic. We think the best solution is to make sure they get legal, get in the system, meet criteria, and as a result, the combination of turning off the jobs magnet and making sure people here are legal will transform a chaotic illegal immigration system into an orderly system. So when you say somehow we're not for orderly immigration or real control, I would argue that those of us who support comprehensive immigration reform are more interested in eliminating illegal immigration than the people who think that the fantasy of driving 11 million people out of the United States is going to somehow solve the problem. They're not going to leave. These people have been here for 10 years. You may not like it, but it's just a fact we have to deal with, which is why so many Americans are interested in a common-sense, practical approach that's going to eliminate the problem beyond the politics rather than this, you know, shouting names that you're open borders and you're not. I mean, come on, let's get serious about what the solution is. That's what President Obama spoke about the other day. That's what Republicans and Democrats are working on right now, is a plan to eliminate illegal immigration.
Let's take a look at Arizona Governor Jan Brewer at the bill signing last week. Bill I'm about to sign into law, Senate Bill 1070, represents another tool for our state to use as we work to solve a crisis that we did not create and the federal government has refused to fix. The crisis caused by illegal immigration in Arizona's porous border. This bill, the Support Law Enforcement and Safe Neighborhoods Act, strengthens the laws of our state. It protects all of us, every Arizona citizen, and everyone here in our state lawfully. And it does so while ensuring that the constitutional rights of all in Arizona remain solid, stable, and steadfast. Arizona Governor Jan Brewer there at last week's bill signing. Let's go to Bruce in Ogden, Utah, Democratic caller.
Hello.
Good morning, Bruce. Welcome to Washington Journal.
Good morning. I wanted to call in. I support the Arizona. The working taxpayers know that a lot of Washington issues are going against the U.S. best better interest and that the law-abiding citizens. I worry when people don't get when they don't get their retirements or other things, that they'll decide to go out and break some laws. I just worry about the future of the United States when so many things are going wrong and we know it. We know illegal is wrong, and they try to make it right.
Let's get a response, Mr. Trump.
I think this country, as you say, is facing a series of problems, long-term structural problems, and there's a sense among the growing part of the electorate that Washington is not able to deal effectively with a very large and significant percentage of the problems the country is facing. Surely, if the Democratic leadership in Congress were to take up an Obama amnesty bill right now, it would be viewed as further evidence that the people in Washington are just completely out of touch with what the average American is concerned about, what the issues they want to see Congress dealing with. It would be difficult or possible. We would see congressional approval ratings plummet even further. There is no question that we continue to have an immigration policy that admits almost a million foreign workers a year at a time when we've got U6 unemployment, 25%. Extremely high levels of unemployment in this country. People are desperate for work, looking for work, and we should be seeing a robust federal enforcement strategy to open up jobs for American families to need these jobs now. And instead, what do we hear? Amnesty. And it makes voters wonder. It makes people wonder, why are we electing people to Congress who have absolutely no, who are so concerned with special interest, fringe group pressures, ultimately, SEIU, Service Employees International Union, is behind a lot of these demonstrations and providing a lot of funding for them. They clearly believe it's something that in cahoots with the administration is going to benefit a certain wing of the Democratic Party. But the public interest needs to prevail now, and what we need to see is the Arizona model emulated elsewhere in other parts of the country. We need to see the federal government step up to the plate, come to the aid of these states, not rebuff them. Poll after poll has shown, election after election has shown, the American people want things like the Arizona law passed. They want to see these things passed, and then repeatedly we're rebuffed by these folks here across the street.
Miranda, Mr. Terry, thanks for responding. But first, we got this email from Michael. He writes that, as usual, we put the load of immigration reform on everyone except the ones making money off of illegal immigrants. I worked in a warehouse where half the workers were illegal, and no one ever came in there to ask for their ID. Why doesn't the state of Arizona write itself a law where law enforcement can walk into any workplace and have the employers for their sake? Would that be too much?
Yeah, that is part of the solution. We really do have to have a national employment verification system with reliable documentation, reliable database, and proper safeguards. But that in and of itself isn't going to solve the problem. Look, people are concerned. They want to make sure that immigration is legal, and they want to make sure we don't reproduce the problem. If we make sure these 11 million get in the system, we don't want 11 million in a decade. But that's why the combination of turning off the jobs magnet with the employment verification system and a requirement, a mandate that people pass background checks, get in the system, pay their taxes, and learn English. That's the combination that's going to go. It's going to be a huge leap forward in eliminating illegal immigration. So if you want to be a nation of laws, you can do so at the same time that we're a nation of immigrants. You want to make sure we have policies that are in our interest. You can also reflect our values. That's what comprehensive immigration reform is about. The key is this. Everybody agrees we've got to do a better job at securing the border. Everybody agrees we've got to crack down on bad actor employers. The question is, what are we as a society going to do with the fact that we have 11 million people here, 70% of whom are in families, two-thirds of whom have been here more than a decade? When people say they should go home, most of them say, we already are home. We're Americans in all but paperwork. And the question is, as a society, isn't it better to make sure they're in the system paying their taxes, make sure that employers are hiring on the books and paying their taxes, make sure that we reap the benefits of the additional revenues that will come from comprehensive immigration reform? That's the kind of solution that will restore the rule of law, that will reduce the deficit, and make America have a legal immigration system that we can be proud of. That's our approach. We're hoping that Congress will get to it this year.
That's an independent caller in Michigan. Welcome.
Welcome. Hi.
Hi.
I got a couple of little statements and a question. You know, we are a nation of laws, and I'd like to say that maybe if we go ahead and approach it at a here's the deal. You know, e-verify. Why can't we do e-verify? And for the whole nation, you know, I'm from Michigan. I come down to Florida to work in the winter. I was at a shop, a paint shop. I was the only American worker there. The rest were illegal. Out of 13 people, I was the first man laid off. I was the first man that had to go back home. You know, here's a great solution for all the immigrants. Instead of marching to Washington, march to Washington and protesting, march to Washington and sign up for the Army, the Navy, the Marines. You know, if you want to be America, America ain't free.
Well, I think you're raising an important point about the E-Verify program. The Arizona law is an example of one that requires employers to participate in the E-Verify program and another program called Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlement Program. In fact, these programs are out there. They're working. Employers like them. They sign up. And we're pushing it fair, all of these programs, to try to broaden them, expand them nationally. And in the end, there are a lot of organizations out there that Mr. Sherry represents that are conditioning robust enforcement, worksite enforcement, workplace verification with an amnesty. And what we are saying is this is the wrong strategy and the wrong approach. And to some extent, because they're taking a position against the Arizona law, the Obama administration is painting themselves into a dangerous corner by saying to the American people, we're going to put the interests of illegal aliens who broke the law, crashed our borders, came in ahead of the line, ahead of hardworking families who need enforcement now. If they were serious about something like a pathway to citizenship, they would be talking about a far more comprehensive set of enforcement measures. They would be talking about curtailing future migration of extended family relatives that have made the system unworkable. They would be talking about meaningful reforms that have been recommended by every commission for the last 30 years to actually start bringing some rationality and credibility, as Barbara Jordan, who chaired our last commission, said to the system. Instead, because of the legislation they're talking about at the federal level appears to be tailor-made to the SEIU and people who just want amnesty, it doesn't even answer the needs that the Chamber of Commerce wants, it appears to be more like a partisan power grab.
Frank, here, let me ask you, what are the implications of what's happened in Arizona on the federal level?
Yeah, I think it's ignited the debate in a way that's probably going to produce a high visibility and very important legislative debate, and a long overdue, I might add. Now, look, everyone knows that the system's broken. Everyone knows that what we've got to do is deal with the fact that we have 11 million people here and we don't want 11 million people in the future. That's what comprehensive immigration reform is designed to do. It's what Lindsey Graham and Chuck Schumer have been working on a bipartisan basis. It's what President Obama supports. It's what John McCain supported in the past, what John Kyle supported in the past. And the fact is that, you know, it's, American people are frustrated not with the fact that there are illegal workers and illegal immigration as much as that our leaders are more interested in scoring points than in solving problems. And so I think it's really time that Congress got together and said, let's do it now. We hear all the political reasons why not, but I'm so tired of this argument that we hear on Capitol Hill. We don't want to take a tough vote because we're running for re-election. Well, the purpose of winning office is to take tough votes, and we'd like our members of Congress to step up and do that. Now, I'll say one other thing about what the caller mentioned. You know, there's a provision as part of comprehensive immigration reform. It's also a standalone provision called the DREAM Act. And what it says is that for young people, if they go to college or they join in the military, they can indeed become American. And that's a bill that I think you'll see highlighted increasingly as we go forward. And last Friday, President Obama was at a citizenship ceremony for 24 legal permanent residents who had served in the military and are becoming citizens. They served in our U.S. military before they'd even taken the oath as American citizens. To me, you know, people talk about immigrants as some sort of others or some sort of criminal class. The vast majority are hardworking people who want nothing other than to join and become Americans. The problem is there's no line to get into. There's no system that allows it. And that's where we need to change the law and enforce it effectively going forward.
Well, we'll finish with Mr. Sherry's comments tonight. I will mention the vast majority are motivated by hard work and a better life for them and their families and children to be, that kind of thing. But I think he should also check the murder and robbery arrest warrants around the country in some of the major cities and see the disproportionate numbers who are illegal immigrants. In some of these cities of the United States, these murder warrants, like 80-90% of them, are murder warrants of illegal immigrants. You can look at Dallas, WKLIF, and they'll throw up pictures of criminals all the time, people that they're looking for, and a disproportionate number there will be probably illegal immigrants. So it's a tough issue. Congress has walked away from it numerous times, and quite frankly, I don't predict that anything's going to happen serious this time coming up. Part of the little joke about this is that the cops won't know what to do. I've said this before, perhaps last week, and we do know that Sheriff Arpaia has found to date approximately 38,000 illegal immigrants. And of course, he's America's toughest sheriff. You know, he puts his prisoners in the black and white striped suits, makes them wear pink underwear, makes them eat very healthy food that may not be their diet choice. But anyway, we hope you enjoyed the show, and if you want to hear the last few minutes of that, you can actually go to C-SPAN video and type in U.S. immigration reform, and it's the April 26th show. So thank you very much for joining us tonight, and I'm sure when you turn on your news tomorrow that the illegal immigration story is not going to go away. So we'll be hearing a lot about it. And Mike, what do you think? He's for enforcement of the border. Very good. We're actually looking here for our switchboard. I think it's disappeared. And we certainly want Vera Lynn to send us off tonight. But I think Blog Talk Radio is getting busy, so they're going to have to be doing some more things in terms of making that thing versatile, a little more flexible. But I think maybe we can have Vera Lynn sign us off. We're very, very close to that. And here she goes. See you next week, folks.
We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Keep smiling through, just like you always do.